We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. And the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. So I've been using Armoire, and I'm actually wearing one of their shirts right now as I'm recording this, and it's a great idea. You don't have to commit to buying the clothes, but you can really start to explore your own personal style. Like if there's a trend or something that you've been wanting to maybe try but not commit to, this is absolutely perfect. Because if you don't like it, you just put it back in the bag and get something else. Because we've all been there. You open your closet, and even though it's packed, you feel like you have nothing to wear. And with Armoire, that's a thing of the past. They make it effortless for all women to turn heads with stylish everyday looks. You can rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion, and it's all tailored to your personal style. Plus, you don't have to do laundry, and you don't have to go shopping. It truly could not be any easier. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month, which is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/ATTWG. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/ATTWG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. All right. Well, Happy New Year, everyone, even though we're almost done with January. And what a year it's been so far.
Yeah.
Remember when it was New Year's and we're like, oh, 2020 is almost over. 2021 is going to be so much better.
It's so not.
I wouldn't say it's not better, but yeah, it's something. All right.
January's been a little rough for us.
It has been a little rough for us. So thank you, everybody who has stuck with us. Thank you for any first-time listeners. Now, this episode that we're about to do was going to be our season 2 premiere.
But it's not going to be one because we just, if you follow us on social media, you know that we just moved into a new house, which is great. But we had to dismantle the recording studio and we just kind of have like an ad hoc one up now. That's not quite where it needs to be. So we'll see how it actually goes. We may have some technical difficulties here. But in addition to that, the case that I had researched for this episode was a very recent case of a missing person. And there has been some sort of a resolution to it. So it doesn't exactly fit with our, you know, normal kind of episodes. So I figured, why not ease into it? We'll do another bonus episode and then we'll just kick off season two soon.
Sounds good.
Yeah, man. All right. So let's get into it then. The story I'm going to tell you today is about a man named Lucas Horan. On Christmas Eve of 2020, just about a month ago, Lucas spent the day with his fiance, but ended up going for a boat ride with his neighbor. Now, we're on the East Coast, so that sounds insane, because it is not warm here, not boating weather at all. But Lucas is actually from Emeryville, which is in the San Francisco area. So while it was certainly chilly, boating wasn't a completely odd thing to do. Or at least it wouldn't have been, except for the fact that before they returned to the Emeryville Marina, Lucas reportedly jumped ship and swam back to shore.
Now, was there drinking involved?
There may have been a substance or two involved, and we'll get to that when we get to kind of the account of that day. And you know, you may be sitting here thinking like, oh, he drowned, that's tragic, but this isn't exactly a mystery. But the story is, of course, a little more complicated than that, because the neighbor said that he saw Lucas make it to shore. But what happened after that is still anyone's guess. So let's get into it. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Such a recent case, there isn't a ton of biographical information available on Lucas. But what I do know is that he was a 39-year-old man, and his Facebook page says that he's from Emeryville, California. And Emeryville is in the Bay Area, like I mentioned, and it's basically just right between Berkeley and Oakland. And I do try not to tread too much in stereotypes on this show, but Lucas does seem to have really been into that, like, San Francisco kind of hippie lifestyle. He was a runner, and his Facebook cover photo is a picture of him running through the woods in a pink unicorn onesie.
It's not my choice of outfit for running.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, we've run races together and stuff, and I've run somewhat longer races, but I can't do that because, as you know, I can only run outside if every single thing is perfect. Like, my shoes are right, like, my bra is correct, the pants are right, like, it is...
The temperature is a certain
level. It can't be above 72 degrees. Yeah. I don't produce sweat. It's not great. So like, whenever I see people wearing costumes in races, I'm just mind-boggled. But despite the whimsical unicorn costumes, Lucas was an insane ultra marathoner.
Ultra marathon.
Yeah.
Are we talking like David Goggins level of ultra marathon?
Where... I don't know what the day. I didn't read the book. I didn't read Goggins's book.
Oh, like hundreds of miles.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. So I was expecting like, oh, a 50K or a 50 miler, which I mean, I say like, oh, a 50 miler, whatever. Like, I've never done more than a half marathon, nor do I think I will ever. But yeah, so on the findlucashorn.com website, there's a link that led to a site that had some of his race times. And in September of 2019, Lucas ran a 330K race.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, that's like over 200 miles. I had to go online and get a calculator, you know, like figure out how to convert that because I couldn't even begin to imagine how many miles that was. Like my K to mile, you know, internal knowledge stops at like 10.
Yeah. I mean, how long did that take him?
So it said that he did it over a period of 127 hours. Remember last week when you worked 60 hours and you were like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this dude ran for 127 hours straight. Like you came home and had dinner.
I can't, how, like when would he sleep? When would he eat?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. Like it seems literally superhuman to
me. Yeah, yeah.
So not only do you have this man who is in incredible physical and mental shape, but he's also extremely intelligent.
Mm.
And not just, you know, like, oh, he can do the miles to kilometer calculation in his head. Like, he's a molecular biologist trying to find a cure for cancer smart.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So according to his LinkedIn profile, in 2009, Lucas earned his PhD in molecular biology from UC Santa Cruz, and he spent the next 6 years at UC Berkeley working on RNA with Professor Don Rio. Since 2015, Lucas has worked as a scientist at Eureka Therapeutics, where he, quote, focused on using the evolutionary signatures of the immune system to create safer and more efficacious cell therapies that are curing patients of cancer, end quote. Right? Like, I don't even know what half those words mean. I'm in real estate. So in addition to being the fittest and smartest person alive, Lucas was also a loving fiance to a woman named Catherine Fisher. And Catherine went by KK online. And she was a single mom to two girls. And the pair met on Bumble, as you do. And though he wasn't their stepfather yet, Lucas seemed to be pretty involved in Catherine's children's lives. They were young. They were like, I think, both under 10. Mm. But she recently posted a photo on Instagram of a giant rope swing that he had made for them at his house.
Nice.
So, you know, he was handy too. Like, as if this guy couldn't get any more perfect. But even though Lucas was seemingly in an amazing place in his life, both personally and professionally, you know, that, of course, doesn't mean that everything was always perfect.
Well, when is it ever?
Exactly. So, though they were engaged at the time of his disappearance, Lucas and KK appear to have had a bit of a rocky relationship. You know, so at this point, before I really get into all that, I want to be sure to mention where I even initially came across this story, because it didn't really make national news, and it is across the country from mm-hmm. us. But they did a fantastic job of digging into this. So I want to give a shout out to the True Crime Society Facebook group. And they also have a blog where they lay everything out. And this blog post, which is linked on our blog under our sources for this episode, even includes KK's account of Christmas Eve, which is the day that Lucas went missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the What We Know section of whereislucas.com. And it's really good that they did this, because that entire, like, account from her has been removed from the site. So it had just – so it's been replaced with just the more basic, like, what he was wearing, where he was last seen type information.
Why is that? Why do you suppose that is?
Well, it's a little – a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on here. You know, it's very detailed, and some people are saying weirdly so. But to give the benefit of the doubt, like, I can understand where she might have been coming from, which is she's in a complete panic. Her fiancé is missing, and she saw him that day.
Right.
She wasn't the last person to see him, but she saw him that day, and she wanted to say, like, okay, this is everything that I know. And she just kind of word vomited
mm-hmm.
everything that she could think of. And I've definitely done that before. Like, you and I have been in stressful situations, and I think I have a tendency to just talk. And
a bit, yeah.
Like, because, you know, I just feel like if I say every single thing that I know, that maybe somebody else will have the answer or be able to fix it.
Mm.
So, you know, again, I'm projecting here, obviously, but when I read that, you know, a lot of people did have very negative reactions to this. And I get it, but I also get where she may have been coming from. So it's, like I said, extremely long. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I do want to read a paragraph of it just to give everyone kind of an idea of what this sounds like and what she was saying. And again, this is written by KK, his fiance, about Christmas Eve 2020, the day he disappeared. That day, Lucas and I were supposed to spend the afternoon together driving to Sacramento to build a meteor from an all things meteoroid, meteorite, meteor expert there as a surprise Christmas present from Lucas to me. Why have you never built me a meteor for Christmas?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. Okay, so going on. This is back to KK. I'm a proud Space Camp alum and total space nerd, and so could not be more thrilled about the event. I had to run to Solano Avenue in the morning to pick up a bottle of Turley wine I'd gotten my ex-husband as a Christmas present, and then Lucas and I met at his boat around 12:30 to begin the trip. Now, again, side note, I do want to say when she says that they met at his boat, it took me a long time to figure this out. He lived on a houseboat. So that's what she's talking about here.
Okay,
back to KK. There had been a bit of tension that morning, but when we were in the car together, it felt to be that the tension was palpable. We began to bicker a bit, not about anything significant, and then I pulled off the highway and into the Costco parking lot to discuss with him while we weren't driving. After some heated discussions, we both went for walks to cool down. I headed to the dog park nearby, and Lucas walked toward the bulb. Through some texting, we decided to give the day another go. I called the meteor guy to push the appointment back to 5 p.m., and eventually I made my way to the car and then to pick Lucas up.
Okay, so she's not getting into specifics as far as what the arguments were about?
No.
It sounds to me like it's a little bit more than bickering, though.
Yeah.
Pulling off, not on the side of the road, but pulling off the road
into a parking lot
and walking away from each other to cool down.
Yeah.
It seems like it's like a, full blown argument.
Right. Exactly. And, a lot of detail there too, like buying wine for her ex-husband.
Well, so that caught my ear. And yeah. I don't know what the nature of the relationship is between Lucas and the ex-husband, but maybe that might have started an argument.
Maybe, but Lucas was supposed to go over to her ex-husband's house with her on Christmas the next day. So it seems like everybody got along relatively well. So her ex-husband actually has custody of the two kids. So that's why she was going over there for Christmas. So basically she was spending time with them at her house, at his house.
So
I don't know. Like I said, she does not get into, she gets into detail about everything, but not what they actually fought about. And she continues with her count of the day after that, saying that they began to drive again, but, things still weren't feeling right between them. So she actually told him to get out of the car. Yeah, and they were still in town at this point, so he ended up walking back home. And
to his houseboat?
Yeah, to his houseboat.
Okay.
And from what I understand, he was maybe a couple miles away. He wasn't super far. Not that it would matter, because he could just run. But Catherine ended up driving to Sacramento alone for the whole meteor thing. And she said that they were texting while she was gone, and things seemed to cool down. So she thanked him for the gift, because I guess she had a lot of fun, and they did, like I said, make plans to see each other Christmas morning. Now, Christmas morning was also special to her because she was actually planning to propose to Lucas that morning. And they had been engaged already, and since he proposed back in October, but she wanted to propose for him along with her daughters, because as she put it, it was a two-way street. So her whole point with this is that, yes, they fought, yes, they had a disagreement, whatever, but, the relationship was solid, they weren't breaking up.
Yeah. Also very granola in San Francisco.
For sure. So she and Lucas were supposed to meet at 7 a.m. on Christmas morning, but he didn't show. Now, Catherine wasn't initially worried because it's totally plausible that he just overslept. I mean, 7 a.m. is pretty early. But Lucas's family had an 8 a.m. Zoom that she logged on to, but there was still no Lucas. And this was obviously a bit more concerning because mm-hmm. it's his family's Zoom on Christmas morning. But again, we're still only talking 8 a.m. So not totally crazy to think that he was still asleep. And apparently he had a habit of just like letting his phone die. So.
As most geniuses do.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah. So
they forget the simple things.
Yeah. So it wasn't. It still wasn't crazy to her that she couldn't reach him or, mm-hmm. or whatever. The plan beyond the morning was for them to go over to her ex-husband's house at 2 to have Christmas with her girls. But then at 2, he still didn't show. Mm. And, you know, at that point, it's a little harder to believe that he just overslept.
Right.
So she apparently kept on trying to get in touch with him, but still received no response. You know, but then again, it's Christmas. She's with her kids. So, like, that had to be her focus, you know?
Yeah.
She wasn't going to just drop everything and rush over to his house. So she stayed at her ex-husband's house, did Christmas with the kids, and then went to Lucas's house afterward. But he wasn't there. And that's when she learned about the boat.
Okay, so he lives in a houseboat.
Mm-hmm.
Was it his houseboat that he took out? Because that's not really like a boating thing.
No, so it was his neighbor's boat.
Okay.
I don't know if it was like his neighbor's houseboat or if his neighbor just had a separate boat or what the deal
sure.
was there.
Okay.
But no, it was not his houseboat. This goes back to when she left him on the side of the road and he walked back home. You know, apparently he was just like, screw it, and decided to hang out with his neighbor. And according to Catherine's account of what the neighbor told her, they just kind of hung out and chatted about life. Now, Lucas and presumably the neighbor were allegedly drinking a little bit, like you asked before, mm-hmm. and smoking pot. But Catherine doesn't see this as a red flag. She said, quote, "Knowing Lucas quite well, I know he's a very capable and self-aware human, and even when he has consumed alcohol or smoked pot, he still remains very much in control of his physical body,"
mm-hmm.
end quote. And again, I mean, she knows him. We don't. We
sure.
also don't know amounts or
yeah.
anything like that. If he had eaten before, like, you know, what else was going on
right.
to determine how impaired he may or may not have been.
Right.
So, yeah. So I don't know if like the drinking and everything was at his house, at the neighbor's house, like on the boat that they took out or where. But at some point, you know, they did go out on a boat. And this is where the story gets weird. And I think this is kind of what really drew some people's attention to it. Now, according to the neighbor, they were on the boat. Everything was chill. They were just having a good time, hanging out. But as they were heading back to the marina, Lucas apparently decided to swim to shore. So, all right. But keep in mind, this is the Bay Area. It's not Southern California. And, you know, it was cold. Like,
right.
temperatures
yeah.
dipped to 42 degrees that night.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it was close to midnight. So that water, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cold, it's dark, and he decides to swim what his neighbor said was 100 to 200 yards back to the shore.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's also in crazy good shape, so.
Sure. But again, cold, wet, and here's the other thing. He apparently jumped in while wearing all of his clothes and tennis shoes.
Hmm. Okay.
According to police, Lucas is wearing jeans, a t-shirt of unknown color, and a gray fleece jacket.
Hmm.
Yeah, so to me, like, there are all sorts of red flags there. If Lucas truly wanted to just take a dip, why not at least leave his shoes and jacket on board?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's like it was his neighbor, so it's not like he couldn't get them back quickly,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I
mean, from what it sounds like, the neighbor was heading back to shore anyway. And again, I don't care how strong of a swimmer you are and how good of shape you're in. You're swimming in open water in jeans, a fleece jacket, and tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That seems extremely dangerous to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But interestingly, Catherine doesn't see this as a red flag. She says that, quote, Lucas is a very capable swimmer, and it is not uncharacteristic of him to want to take a dip in cold water, end quote.
With his clothes on, though?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, this, to me, is not taking a dip. Like, if he stripped down and swam back to shore, I'd be like, okay, that's weird, but sure. But I just, the jacket and the tennis shoes, that, I mean, I just can't get over that. But, you know, red flags or not, if the neighbor is to be believed, this isn't where the tragedy occurred, because he says that he saw Lucas make it to the shallow water and headed up the rocks to climb back to shore.
Okay.
So, you know, according to the neighbor, basically, he made it against all odds. Like, he got there. Now, after the missing persons report was filed, obviously the police searched the shoreline, but nothing unusual was found.
Where was his cell phone?
I think it was back in his
house.
Yeah, I believe.
Okay. So he didn't jump into the water with his cell phone in his pocket?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
This is where the case gets so baffling to me. A man who gets into a fight with his fiancée on Christmas Eve and is at least somewhat under the influence jumps into open water at around midnight with an air temperature of 42 degrees while wearing all of his clothes. But those closest to him don't believe this is what led to his disappearance.
Okay.
Catherine posted her working theory, which I'm going to read directly. Quote, my current working hypothesis is that Lucas emerged from the water at the end of the point, walked along the base side of the marina point, around the corner on the other side of the point where the Chinese restaurant is, and then headed down Powell Street, either to a homeless encampment. Lucas and I had had discussions about what it would be like to live homeless, and I could see him deciding this would be a worthwhile exercise. Or he could have made his way to the trails, where he could have headed anywhere from there. End quote.
Okay. So her running theory is that he has these completely erratic behaviors?
I guess. Yeah, that he just up and decided to go live in a homeless encampment as a worthwhile exercise.
Or go running.
Or go running.
Sopping wet in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think maybe, especially if, you know, Lucas's family was involved, you can see why they might have wanted this to be taken down off of the Find Lucas Horan website.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, she also says that he could be going by the name Lucas Savage. And that struck me as very weird. Like, why would he just pick this weird name?
Apparently, sounded like his wrestling name?
So it sounded like, right? I'm like, why Lucas Savage? But from what I could find on Facebook, I think Savage might have been his mother's maiden name.
Mm, okay.
So it actually makes a little bit more sense than when I first read that. I'm like, what on earth? In social media posts in the intervening weeks, Catherine seems to vacillate between thinking Lucas is out there or that he's died. At one point, she refers to him as, quote, my Schrodinger's cat of a was-to-be husband, end quote.
I don't really know what to make of that.
Yeah. And that, again, is part of what I think brought this case to people's attention, is that she made a lot of social media posts.
Mm-hmm.
After his disappearance, and they were kind of all over the place.
Yeah, which, you know, again, giving her the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure she's racking her brain, going crazy, thinking all of these things back and forth. Oh my God, what if he's dead? Oh,
Or did he leave me?
Is he
out somewhere?
Right. Why did he leave me?
Right. Like, right.
I'm sure, you know, that all of those thoughts would be going through anybody's head.
Yeah.
But to be putting it out on social media.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, but that's just how she had to process it.
True. Yeah.
So he had no car, no cell phone. His car was at the marina still. Mm-hmm. And to answer your previous question, his cell phone was on the boat. And I'm, don't know whether or not the neighbor knew it was on the boat at the time or if he discovered it later.
So it was on the neighbor's boat that they took out.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Now, he had no driver's license, and he probably had no running gear. So, you know, because of the fact that Lucas could run hundreds of miles at a time, you know, many people did think, yeah, sure, he just took off. But there's no evidence that he had poles, a pack, or any other gear that he would want to have for a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine says that he also may have had a credit card with him, but that was unconfirmed. After his disappearance, police and Lucas's parents went back to the boat, but they found no evidence that Lucas had returned or changed or done anything like that. That's basically kind of where we stood when I first started researching this in terms of like public information. There were two Facebook groups, Finding Lucas Horan and Missing Lucas. And looking at those two groups, one thing is clear. Lucas is a man who was as kind as he was smart. He especially loved children, and they loved him. He was thoughtful and seems to have made lasting impressions on people going back decades. I mean, there are people who wrote amazing, touching stories who hadn't seen him in 15, 20 years.
Hmm.
And what I also saw is kind of a divide among family and friends. Those who think he was still out there somewhere just having a grand adventure, and those who believed he met a tragic fate. For her part, the emotional toll of Lucas's disappearance, along with people's suspicions that she was somehow involved, seems to have driven Catherine off of the internet and out of the situation entirely. On January 8th, she made a long post on finding Lucas Horan, which seems to be deleted now, but we have some screenshots on the blog so you can read them yourself, but here are some highlights. Quote, I'm going to be disappearing myself for a while. Although I will choose one person with whom I trust to know where I am at all times, so no one has to worry about me. My parents are here helping me wrap up all of my financial affairs so that I can be gone without loose ends. I am letting go of attempting to find Lucas. I do not believe Lucas drowned, and I do not believe he is dead. I know Lucas, and I believe he is alive someplace. I believe that similar to me, he became overwhelmed with the immense cruelty of this world, and it breaks my heart to know I pushed him over that edge. But I have given up on being able to find him. If he wants to come back, he will. And I can't do anything to change whether he wants to come back or not. End quote. And then she goes on to say, quote, you are welcome to continue searching if you would like to, but my preference would be for everyone to just let go and go back to their families and lives and not waste any more time searching for him. I believe he will come back when he wants to. End quote.
So this is January 8th, you said?
Yeah, so like less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, like a week and a half after he went missing?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty quick to just be like, all right, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah, no. You know? Yeah, a lot of people obviously felt the same way.
Yeah.
Which is why I think this was quickly deleted.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, the whole thing about like I want everybody to just get on with their lives is a little...
Yeah, now, of course, none of this is really incriminating. It's
no,
just, it's
not
just
at all.
Very odd behavior.
Yeah.
Given the circumstances.
But, you know, if you think of it as she truly believed that he left voluntarily, that he was off having an adventure,
mm-hmm.
then maybe it makes sense. Like, maybe she doesn't want people to pause their lives and look for somebody who isn't there.
Or maybe she doesn't want to know why he left.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned something that she said at some point she thought that he might have a credit card.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't prove that all of his credit cards were in his wallet, I guess, because he did not have his wallet, but there could have been a credit card missing. She just wasn't sure.
And no... I'm sure the police would have been tracking.
Spending and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, none of that was made public because, again, like...
It is so new.
So new. Right. Yeah, we're not talking about a case that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they were, of course, looking into every option and doing multiple searches. I did mention that they looked on the shoreline, but mm-hmm. there were multiple searches in and around the water. So there's been some speculation from someone on Facebook who claims to be friends with both her and Lucas that she does actually believe that he drowned, but it's just, you know, she's kind of in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And to this person, that kind of explains why it seems like she's given up. Like she just can't deal with that.
Do you have any more information on the neighbor?
No. And I'm so curious. And, you know, I did mention, and we will be getting to, you know, the partial resolution mm-hmm. that we have to this case. But I really do want to know more about the neighbor.
Yeah, well,
and what he saw.
You're talking about usual suspects here. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, obviously fiance. Mm-hmm. Last person to see them alive mm-hmm. should be prime suspect.
Right.
So I'm curious, and of course, you know, like you said, it's such a new case. Nothing's going to be made public yet. But, like, I'm curious what the police found out about the neighbor.
Yeah, so am I. And I don't know if they're going to make that public or what's going to happen there. But, I mean, yeah, that to me is really key. And there just isn't any more information beyond, you know, that he was the last person to see Lucas and he saw Lucas apparently make it to shore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about January 8th. Being really soon after he disappeared. Mm-hmm. But, you know, adventure or not, he was still missing for almost 2 weeks at that point. And he is a professional. Like, he's a free spirit, but he has a job.
Right.
And, you know, his employers also had no idea where he was. But Lucas's friends and his running community were not giving up hope. He uses the app Strava. And his friends started a group, and I thought this was really cool, that basically tracked their searches for him along some of his favorite trails so that you could go in this group and see where people have already looked.
Yeah, that's really smart.
So you're not duplicating efforts. And I thought that was super cool. Something happened to Lucas on Christmas Eve, and he was a brilliant scientist who was apparently working on a COVID nasal spray vaccine, you know, in addition to curing cancer, just something on his off time.
Little side project.
Yeah. And, you know, he was well loved by people all over the world, and they all deserve answers. Mm-hmm. While we don't have all of the answers, we do have a major one. Right after I finished writing this episode, I got a news alert. On January 12th, 2021, the discovery of a body was reported to Oakland police at 11:02 a.m. It was near the intersection of Burma Road and Maritime Street, and the body was identified as Lucas Horan. There are no apparent signs of trauma, but the body was found in the water. It obviously answers some questions. Unfortunately, Lucas is dead. He's not off having a grand adventure somewhere. And where he was found is close to where he went missing. But what's unclear is what exactly happened. Was it a tragic accident? Did he jump off the ship? Did he get weighed down? Did he not make it to shore? Was the neighbor mistaken? Mm-hmm. Was it a suicide? Was he able to make it to shore and just didn't? Or was it something else?
Did they give a cause of death or did they just say he was found in water?
Found in water, no signs of trauma. And that's the last public statement that I've been able to find.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, if it was drowning or if it was hypothermia.
Right. No further information has been revealed about the cause of Lucas's death. So even though we do know where he is, there are still a lot of unanswered questions. One thing that we can be sure of is that he was a brilliant man who was well-loved and for whatever reason was taken way too soon. Horan went missing from Emeryville, California on December 24th, 2020. His body was found on January 11th, 2021. The site whereislucas.com is now a memorial to him, where you can read remembrances and learn more about what seems to be an incredibly extraordinary man. And again, if you have any information, if you saw Lucas that night, if you have any information about what happened to him on Christmas Eve, please contact the Emeryville Police Department at 510-596-3700. You can see all the sources for this episode, along with photos and videos, on our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook, and at @attwgpod on Instagram and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we want to hear from you. You can also leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/andthentheyweregone/message, and we may play it on a future episode. So we will see you soon for our actual season 2 premiere. So thank you for joining us this week for another bonus episode.
Thank you. See you soon.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.